You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Because that feeling is what streamlines all your messaging. Once you can figure out, and it's really simple. It's just like it's adjectives, frustrated, stressed, overwhelmed, cynical, vulnerable, whatever it is. Kind of touchy-feely stuff. But it doesn't. We don't put these touchy-feely words on your website. We don't put anything on your website that you're not actively involved in.
Welcome to the Marketing Starter Podcast. On the show, I interview marketing pioneers from around the world and learn how their entrepreneurial spirits have made them more savvy marketers, while they share their tips and hacks that have led to their tremendous success. I'm your host, Tim Hines, marketing evangelist, keynote speaker, consultant, and author of the book, The Marketing Starter. Before we kick things off, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and when the show is over, please share it with your friends. Now, let's get started starting. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to be more prospect-centric with Kevin Friedberg, who's a certified story brand guide, award-winning copywriter, career storyteller, founder of 7-Second Websites, and also worked on the live set of King of the Hill back in the day. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tim, thanks for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here.
It's fantastic to have you too. I can't wait to dig into your story, hear more about how you're helping marketers and how you've helped yourself be more customer or prospect centric. I think it's something that is just very timely and something that will outlast all of us forever in this crazy world that we live in today. But first, why don't you give us the background on who you are, how you got your start, and how you ended up on the show?
We were talking about this just before. I've always just been interested in stories. I first started out working for, as very beginning of my career, right out of college, I worked for the show King of the Hill. I was a PA, which is like lingo for a production assistant. And really, it's just a glorified waiter. And it was one of the best jobs ever. I may have peaked up until this job I have today, 7-Second Websites. That was probably my best, greatest job.
I bet.
I just drove around the Hollywood Hills, delivering scripts, hanging out with some of the best storytellers of all time. It was just a glorious, glorious job. That's kind of how I got started, and then got more and more interested in first advertising and then marketing. But always with just this kind of sales perspective. My dad was a salesman his whole life, and it always looked actually quite difficult. And I had no interest in it until I learned how to sell and market from the perspective of the person you're talking to, rather than feeling like you got to talk about yourself and sort of be on stage and just always have that fear, like, am I boring the crap out of this person? Which I think is kind of all of our fear, really.
And then as far as how you got your business started and where you ended up that brought you here today, you know, where does the story go from there?
So I'd had like a lot of just full-time copywriter jobs here in Minneapolis in advertising. And there was just always this feeling, one, that I was disconnected from the business owner. And I was always asked, you know, to write all kinds of advertising and marketing. But I was just, there was this gap between me and the customer. And obviously you can't really ever just go out and meet a bunch of customers, at least not the way that structure's set up. And it wasn't until my last full-time job, it's just like, I don't know, 3 years ago, where I just had had enough. I was sort of being asked, and I didn't realize this until later, and I learned about this from a friend of mine, Emily Omier. She talks about it in terms of brain surgery versus therapy. And in brain surgery, which is pretty much how almost all of marketing works now, you just sort of like, you don't even get to go in. Account people and other people go in and sort of suck the content, all the information from the client, and then bring it back to the writer and go, well, here's what we know. Here's what we found out. And now make some stuff, you know, that's interesting, that gets, obviously, that increases sales. And in sort of the therapy model, the writer, whose ultimate job is to help you sell, actually talks to the owner of that business and the sales team, anyone else that wants to come, and just, at least in my business, really focuses on your customer. Mm-hmm. And it is so much more interesting for the business owner, obviously for the customer, and for me. It just, my job is so fun now. I can't do it any other way. It is just, and that's where that, so just to kind of jump around here, what happened with this last job is I couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And I quit, and I went to Nashville to become a story brand certified guide, not really knowing quite what it was about. just more like, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to just go spend 4 days with Donald Miller in Nashville. And what I came home with was this idea that you could just laser focus your marketing on your customer, your prospect. Mm-hmm. And at some point during those 4 days, Don talked about how when someone comes to your website or your client's website, they need to know what you do and why they should care in 7 seconds or less. And there's mm-hmm. been all kinds of studies, and I think something even like someone even brought up like goldfish have that kind of attention span. But I don't
goldfish
know
and Gen Z, by the way.
Same. You're right. Exactly. Interchangeable, obviously.
Yeah.
And that just really stuck with me, like how limited, and even now, especially in the last couple of years, people just are so limited with time. And that mm-hmm. that 7 seconds really stuck with me. And once I learned, Don's got this thing, he calls it the one-liner, where it's like it takes like 5 minutes. I mean, it's the simplest thing. It's almost a Mad Lib. You just answer these three questions, and it's what is your customer's problem? Mm-hmm. And how do you solve it? And what does success look like once that problem is solved?
Right.
I mean, it's just three simple questions. And what I love is you don't ever see it coming. But when I do this exercise, and I do it with every single last one of my clients, they kind of go into it pretty resistant, like, you know, it's an elevator pitch. And it just sounds like, I've done this a million times. But the way this is focused, it's only about your customer. When they're done, their mind is blown. They just get they get this joy. There's like, we've never been able to talk about what we do in this way before. And once I just saw their face do that over and over again, just like, oh my God. I mean, they just literally just audible sounds. I just went, well, I want to build a whole company around that. And that is how you get to get your prospects interested in 7 seconds or less, is through that. Just the simplest of simple exercises is this 3-step formula, which is just 3 questions. And so, yeah, I built a whole company around it. And I could talk forever about it.
Well, I think it's a super interesting analysis. That's seven seconds, and I could certainly see that as a consumer shopping. But what you're saying is this is also in B2B too. Like me as a B2B buyer, if I'm going to a website And if I'm not seeing that value, if I'm not understanding why it exists to help me, and if it's not focused on me in 7 seconds, I'm losing interest.
Yeah, like,
wow.
And I do have just a healthy case of ADD. And
no, we all do today.
I think you kind of have to. Yeah. It definitely has some value. I think a big part of it is I personally live with this fear when I talk to someone that they're going to monopolize my time. Mm-hmm. Like you, if you ask someone that this is the big question we're all facing all the time in sales, marketing, in life, it might be the most asked question of all time. So what do you do? I mean, it just rolls off the tongue. We're just faced with it all the time. And none of us are really prepared for it. It's mm-hmm. amazing. We all know it's coming. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? And so I faced it too. I got this office at WeWork, and I just would get in the elevator and someone else would come on. I'd go, what floor are you going to? And they'd say, whatever. And then I would, of course, go, so what do you do? And they would go on and on. And then they'd ask me, and I just would ramble. I do what I do, and I still could not focus. And when I got to that point where, first of all, they usually only give me like 5 seconds to answer, because mm-hmm. by the time they're done, their floor is right there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes their one foot is out the door when they go, well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at some point, because I had so little time, I just went, I write websites. it was just like blurted it out. Like, you know, you gave me 3 seconds. That's what I got. And that was enough to get people to stop and go, oh, really? We need a website. Are you available next week? Or they would start talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And this, I can't stress this enough. This was what just got me so over the moon excited, was when I can get people to say what they do, and then the person they're talking to starts talking about themselves.
Yes.
Holy, I was like, I'm done. I can retire now. I'm good. I'm just going to, you know, my life's work is over. I was so happy. I just was like, wait, so now you're relate. That's how you relate. You're like, oh, you do that. Oh, it's funny here. And then they start telling a story about how they were a writer in college, or they love writing, or they need a website, or they're frustrated by this, or they start telling their own story. And that's when my mind went, well, that's what I want to do. That's what I do when I grow up. That's it.
Right. Well, I'm glad you figured out what you want to do when you grow up. Some of us are still figuring that out, but you know, I've had a few story brand guide people on the show so far, and I do see the theme that you guys all have in your shared thinking that you've had from your training, and you know, in that theme going back to being prospect and customer centric, but really it's that ability to listen and then to translate that problem or that story that the customer has into your messaging and how you then talk about how you help them, as opposed to just like blanket, this is what I do, right? So yeah, I think it's a super interesting thing that you guys kind of all have this same schooling. And I gotta go do this myself, by the way. I think it would be very, very beneficial, but I am learning a lot just from the people I'm talking to. So I'm getting like that secondary type of education, you know, the derivative sure. education through you guys. But I think it's kind of cool that you had that epiphany of going, wow, I can be more prospect and customer centric if I just listen to people, as opposed to pitching them and just talking product or talking technical. And it's funny because I still, you know, will go to a vendor's website, because I get hit up all the time as a marketer, like, oh, you know, buy this B2B tool, buy this ABM tool, whatever. And I'll go to their sites, and some are good. They've got this. Like they understand the problem and their message right out of the gate, right at the top of their website, right? And this is like, or you can go and help them right at the top of their website. You know, they have that. Other ones are just like, just go right into technical, right about product, right about, you know, who they are. And I'm just like, and I just start to get lost. And I'm trying to like look back and think, and I'm probably just like one of those goldfish. If I'm thinking about it, I'm probably like looking at their website, just doing like maybe a 2-finger scroll to get past the fold and going, and then just giving up on it. Right. And so I really do, I'm understanding and seeing, now that I'm thinking about it, the need in what you do and helping to get that message conveyed on, which is your number one marketing tool. That's your website. Your website is your number one marketing tool. And if you're not clearly conveying your message and properly addressing the customer need out of the gate, or at least somewhere on your homepage that makes it easy for them to read, then you're screwed, right?
Well, here's the interesting part. Yeah. Yes, you're screwed. Totally. 100%.
Yes, but, and nuance now. Okay.
Well, yeah. Like most, I'd say every single, I'm expensive. Let me just say that. So if I'm expensive, I'm not going to work with people that are screwed. They're already doing great. Almost all of them. Very few people are, some people I've, oh. You know, I do work with startups or just, you know, people just, you know, going off on their own. But for the most part, you know, even the ones that are going off on their own, they have seed money, they have experience, they're experts, they're doing great. It's not a kind of a turnaround situation.
I see.
And the point being, you can do okay. But I think where you run into problems is, with time, your sales cycles just take forever, and you're going to do great. It's just your people are burning out. The stress level's too high. You're wasting money on marketing, and you're not streamlined with your messaging. You're reinventing the wheel every time. It's taking you half an hour, sometimes an hour, to write an email. And things just are not humming like they should. And when you get on a sales call, you're all over the place. I even had a friend who was selling his own company. And so his CEO was in the boardroom presenting their pitch to this huge, it was Moody's. Okay. They were selling their company to Moody's. And my friend, who's really familiar with what I do, he was listening to his CEO go on and on for 45 minutes. And my friend just wanted to just slide my business card over to his own CEO and go, "We want them interested in 7 seconds or less." you just was beside. I mean, it worked out great. They sold the company. But it's just that time, that efficiency, you just know you can do it better and grow faster and not have to put in these really stressful sales cycles. You can keep moving if you just know exactly. Like, here's my favorite part. So I ask the same 7 questions every time to the business owner and hopefully their sales team. And what that does, I think it's the 3rd question. So I ask, like, what's the problem you help your customer overcome? And they're like, that's always easy. They just go right out of the gate, you know. And that's the best part about working with the business owner, is they eat, sleep, and dream their prospect.
Right.
Just like I do. I mean, we're just totally on the same page that way. And then the next question makes them so uncomfortable. It is the most awkward moment. It leads to some serious tension. I say, okay, so that's what your customer's facing. That's their problem. How do they feel about not getting that problem solved? And that word feel, just, oh my God, you could just drive a truck through that line. It just like,
right.
they squish, they squirm. I had a client in Texas who got angry. He was like, "Feel? What is that? We don't use that word like that." You know, he was just almost offended.
Really?
Yeah. And I just had to really stammer and just kind of go, no, it's, we're just trying to, you know, really help connect. I just rambled.
But dude, he was adverse to feelings.
He used like profanity. I don't know if this is a family podcast, but he just like the profanity was flying. It's Texas.
You can use profanity here. It's okay.
He was just like,
it's Texas. Hey, I live in Texas, so I
okay. And yeah, I'm from Dallas, born and raised.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, but he was like, we don't. His words were, we don't pull that shit on our prospects. And I was like, okay, cool. No. I touched a nerve there. But I did keep at it. I wanted to know, like, I said, we'll circle back, you know? And we did, because I can't leave that interview without knowing about how your customers feel. Cause sure. That feeling is, what streamlines all your messaging. Once you can figure out, and it's really simple. It's just like, it's agitated, frustrated, stressed, overwhelmed, cynical, vulnerable, whatever it is, kind of touchy feely stuff. But it doesn't, we don't put these touchy feely words on your website. We don't put anything on your website that you're not actively
involved. So yeah, he probably just wanted, he was feeling stressed and concerned that you were going to be putting feelings on his website.
Yeah, we feel, you know, we care about, you know, just kind of that stuff that nobody wants to hear anymore because it's been done to death. And it just gets, that's what gets us to the 7 seconds.
Sure.
You can say anything you want in 7 seconds, but it's got to connect. It's got to land so that you want to read more. You're not going to close the sale in 7 seconds or get them to contact you or buy something. You just want them to stay. Mm-hmm. And once you, that feeling of just like, oh, these guys can help me. They can help my business survive. Sometimes it almost always comes down to that. And obviously thrive as well. But if you can get there in 7 seconds, and it's got to have some kind of outcome of working with you, a result. And that comes from that. Don calls it the internal problem, is how your customer feels about not getting their problem solved. And that's another one of those just went, well, this is all I want to do with my life. It's just that good.
Yeah, well, I think that's so interesting. It's almost like a meta experience with that Texas client and how he was feeling a certain way about you talking about bringing up the feeling of the customer, and you touched a nerve. But that's interesting because you're like, ha, I made you feel a certain way. So there must be some underlying feeling or frustration or understanding of like who your customer is and like their profile. Because profiling, I think, is a super important part of, you know, figuring out your story and understanding your customer or prospect and being more centric on them is just really knowing who they are, which I think is something that marketers are generally pretty good at. I think it's an art. I think it's something we need to continue to fine tune. But that sounds like that little experience kind of like, you know, you like unearth just a tiny little bit about that and like maybe about his industry that he was in or like, you know, the certain business culture and stuff like that. Because each of those are challenges that are going to be different. I think if you're going into a tech company and you're saying like, oh, well, you know, how does that make your customers feel? They're like, oh yeah, we can talk about that, blah, blah. But if you're going into big oil or something, maybe that's, I mean, I don't know if that's who that was, but if you're going into big oil or something like that, it's probably gonna be much different, right? But either way, they all are gonna have their communication struggles and their messaging hurdles to overcome. And they need help to think more in the prospect shoes to get them interested. And in either way, we're humans at the end of the day, right? And I think having a more humanistic approach to what we do in sales, to what we do in marketing, and I've given talks about this and there are books about this stuff, but the learnings that you have and recognizing that, hey, a human is only going to give you 7 seconds at the end of the day. So we need to work within that window to be the best that we can and put our best foot forward, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I always kind of go back to these party situations or elevators or wherever where you can kind of feel trapped, you know, you just really want to have an interesting conversation with someone. You so desperately do. And, I ran into this even, I just went to my high school reunion in Dallas. I went to Pierce High School and live in Minnesota now. And And it was just the perfect testing ground. Like, you haven't seen these people. For me, it was 30 years. It was a 30-year high school reunion.
Wow.
And most people had not seen in 30 years. And you just figure out, like, who you want to talk to real fast. And like, you just, you know, and then there's the question, so what do you do? And of course, for me, I'm just like, you know, immediately trying to turn these into headlines for their website. You know, I'm not like, it's not a work thing, but I that's my muscle.
It's your nature now.
Yeah. That's where it goes. And you just get people that, you know, I had some guy came to me and I was like, so what do you do? And he went, work for Apex Electronics. And I just went, oh God. And you start looking for the exits. You feel the walls are closing in. You're just like, please don't tell me about Apex Electronics. And then the next guy I had not talked to in 30 years, but and I kind of knew him in high school a little bit, just a nice guy. And I was like, so what do you do? And he went, well, a few years after we graduated, I started this business where we send out automated calls when something goes wrong, you know, with your business. You know, maybe it's a school and there's like a snow day. You send out a bunch of calls automated saying the buses are late or whatever. And he just like set up the story and the outcome. And I'm like, his name was Brad Herman. And I was like, Brad, that's you came up with that like 4 years after we graduated high school? And he went, yeah. And I was like, okay, what do you call your company? And he went, Call 'Em All. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, I just want to kiss you on the mouth. I'm just like, that is the greatest. Like, please tell me more. Like, I will talk all day and all night about what you do for your customers. I mean, I'm fascinated. And I am an insanely curious person, but most of us are. And of course, like, times change. Not as many people use the phone. So now they pivoted, and now they're known as Text-Em-All. And they still have the other one. And, you know, it just was a lovely conversation. And of course, he asked me about my business and seemed equally interested, and I appreciated that. But I just think, like, knowing how to talk about what you do where someone would kind of lean in and want to know more, just that's a bit just been such a focus of my business, even in the last few weeks of what I've been talking about on LinkedIn. I just think that's where it's at. That's what we want. We want just quality interactions. And it all so often starts with your website and not just sort of overwhelming someone with every possible thing. Just giving them you are so, the people I work with are so successful and they're so confident, as they should be, that I want them to know right off out of the gate, you know your customer. You do.
Yeah.
My job is not to tell you how to do your business. Wouldn't dream of doing that, and I never could do it as well as you. I just want you to be able to see it, to sell on your website like you'd sell on a sales call, just really making it about me. I always say me or whoever's coming in contact with your messaging, and they get it. These guys in Texas, they were they did something different that I will not ever do again. I learned my lesson. Super super nice people, but they're like, we want to do a brain dump first. And I immediately just kind of like, oh, that sounds like the total opposite of everything I can help you with. But I was like, okay, you know, let's do it. And it was just an hour and a half. No, I think it was 2.5 hours. I had just gotten my COVID vaccine the day before, and I was a little woozy anyway. And I was just like, all right, let's hear it. And sure enough, I think it was 2 solid hours of just them kind of regurgitating their whole business. And I was like, at the end, I just thought, they didn't need me there. That's agency stuff where like the writer's disconnected and it's just sort of handed down through account people. It trickles down to the writer and they go, here you go. Boom. Make some sense out of this. Do some brain surgery. And so I was so nervous. I honestly thought I might have to resign this account. Like, I just didn't know if these guys could do it, if they could get there. And I was like, okay, well, tomorrow like starts your first, it's your real kickoff. And I just thought, oh, crap. So I start with my usual question, the first of the seven questions. And it was like an entirely different group of people. They just got right on it. They didn't never mentioned any of this brain numb stuff. None of the stuff that they brought up that's super technical. None of it came up. They just answered the questions. There was a little tension with the feeling. And, sure. and it was, you know, it just made sense. Like people really do just, they care deeply about their customers. And they just want to help them. And these questions are kind of the start of getting you in that right frame of mind.
Yeah, now I'm with you. Well, how about this? In 7 seconds, tell me your marketing superpower. How's that for a challenge?
Well, so it's so funny. I was talking with my friend Jared about this last night. So my marketing superpower is making your first 7 seconds of not just your website, but really everything you do, completely devoted to your prospect so that they are interested and want to know more about what you do.
I love that. That's like, you're like the Flash of marketing messaging. That's your superpower. And that was a great pitch. That was tight. And so if my listeners are interested in getting their website up to speed in 7 seconds or less and being able to convey who they are, talk about the problem, and then, but more importantly, be more prospect centric with you, how do they get a hold of you?
So my website is the number 7secondwebsites.com. My email is a little shorter. It's just kevin@7sws, which stands for 7secondwebsites.com. And I send out a daily email. You can find it on my website or just type in 7secondwebsites.com/daily. And the email is basically how to get the first 7 seconds of your website down, how to nail that. It gives away the store. It really just, I'll just tell people that right then and there. If you read this email and you do get the gist of each email in 7 seconds or less, by the way. If you want to read more, you can, but if you can be done after 7 seconds.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show. I learned a ton. I think it's always, like I said before, a craft to continue to work on being prospect and customer centric. We can never talk about it enough. So hopefully I can have you back again on a future episode and we can unravel a new topic about getting our message across in 7 seconds or less. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim. It was a real pleasure. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Once again, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave a great review. You can also learn more about the show and the book at themarketingstarter.com. And last but not least, stay tuned for our next starter interview. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.